Acts chapter 24. I want to read the first 14 verses of Acts 24. It says, after many days, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain order named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and the very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I not be further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou would hear us of thy clemency a few words. We have found this man Paul, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us with great violence, took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee. By examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do more cheerfully answer thee for myself. Paul says, I can speak for myself in this matter. Because that thou mayest understand, there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee. This is where our title come from here this morning. This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Paul says what men call heresy. He says the way which they call heresy. The way that they call heresy. Now heresy, I looked this up. It's a belief or opinion that's contrary to what most believe. It means to be at odds with what's generally accepted, to kind of go against what's generally accepted. I don't know if you've noticed, but most people in religious circles, they tend to get along. They tend to agree. There's really nothing that upsets them. They'll talk about good works. You could stand around the lunchroom and talk about good works all day long, and nobody's going to get upset. Talk about reading your Bible. Talk about going to church. Talk about praying or getting your heart right with God. You can listen to those things around the lunch table. And no one's going to get inflamed. No one's going to get upset about that. Talk about things like that all day long and not be at odds or not be contrary with anyone. But those things that take away from man's glory, those things that take away from man's pride, man's arrogance, man's self-righteousness, those things that give God all the glory. That's what men call heresy. That's what gets religious people upset. It goes against man's pride. Back in Daniel 3, just a couple examples of this. Back in Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar, he made that image of gold. The height of it was 60 cubits high. It was 90 feet tall. And he told the people, he said, when you hear the music, bow down. Bow down. To not do so, it would go against what the common practice in that time was. To not do so would mean that you were at odds with what most people in that community were doing. Because they were going to, when they heard the music, they were going to bow down. And he said, if you don't bow down, there was a threat involved there. If you don't bow down, you'll be cast. You'll be cast into that fiery furnace. And in all that place, I don't know how many people lived in that time. There were three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said to the king, they said, we'll not be careful. We'll not be careful to answer you in this matter. That kind of sounds like heresy. I bet that sounded like heresy, didn't it? They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve, he's able. He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, even if he doesn't, be it known unto thee, O king, we'll not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that you've set up. Well, just a few pages over in Daniel 6. Remember the story of Daniel. Some of the servants, they said, we need to find fault with this man. But there's only one way we'll find fault with him, and that'll be concerning his God. And they convinced the king to make that royal decree that no one would ask a petition of anyone save the king for those days that would pass by. And Daniel didn't change a thing he did he? Daniel went back to his home and he opened the windows and he bowed down to pray. He made his petition unto God. Again, that rule said no petition would be made to anyone but the king for 30 days. What did it say? Look, turn to Daniel 6. Just turn over there and look at that. Daniel 6. Let's just read this. Look at verse 10 of Daniel 6. It said, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open, he wasn't hiding anything. He wasn't hiding from anyone. He went in his chamber and he kneeled down. He kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks just as he had done aforetime. The common practice was to worship a false god, to worship the creature, to worship the king. And to do otherwise would be considered heresy. And you know Daniel was cast into that lion's den. The Lord delivered him. Well, Paul says here in our text, back in Acts 24, he says the way which the world calls heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things written in the law and in the prophets, those things written in God's word. Now what we believe, what God has revealed unto us, what God declares, are not things that men commonly believe in our time. That shouldn't be surprising, should it? It hasn't. We can go back in the Old Testament and all the way up till now. We can see that hasn't changed any. That hasn't changed any. God's word declares this. There's a way. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he said that he said this. He said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. foolishness to it. Neither can they be known, because they are spiritually discerned. They have to be revealed. These things don't conform to the natural mind. Well, quickly this morning, I want us to look at just a few things that men in Paul's time and men in our time call heresy. And the first one is this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Men still call that heresy. Men say that the earth started with a small singularity and that it inflated over the next 13.8 billion years. I always wonder how they come up with things like that. But you know, the Epicureans, they were present in Paul's time. And when Paul preached in Athens, they said the earth, the Epicureans believed that the earth came by chance, that it just came by chance. Paul said this: God made the world. God made the world and all things therein. He had to declare that in his time. We continue to declare that in our time, in our day. I think, and I can't remember this for sure. I had it written down in an old Bible, and I think John Chapman said this. He said this: if what men say about evolution and creation is true, that you could take a set of four Michelin tires and an engine block and put them in a garage and shut the door, and then wait 20 million years, and a brand new Cadillac would pop out of there after that time. We laugh about it. That had to be John Chapman said that. Didn't it? We laugh about that. But men, think about what men believe. And think about what God revealed to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, second, what men call heresy. They call the fall of man heresy. Now they will they'll say man slipped. They'll say man was injured by the fall. But they say man can straighten himself up. Man can pull himself up by his bootstraps. Man can do this. Man can do that. God's word says that he fell. He told Adam, he said, "In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Man is dead in trespasses and sin. The word of God says this: the wages of sin is dead. It's dead. And let me ask you this: what can a dead man do? What can a dead man do? Can do nothing. Dead. And if we're dead in trespasses and sin, we can do as much or less than that man that lays in the grave. Nothing. Look at Genesis 3. Turn back to Genesis 3. Begin with verse 9 of Genesis 3. "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Our ability to take any responsibility has not changed either, has it? And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, it shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it, out of the ground you were taken, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." As in Adam, all die. We're all dead. We're sinners. Sinners by birth, sinners by choice, sinners by practice. It's what we are. Sin. Third, this way men call heresy: the sovereignty of God in all things. In all things. In creation, in providence, and in salvation. Earlier we read from Genesis 1:1, in creation, God created the heavens and the earth. He's sovereign in providence. Turn to Daniel 4. Turn back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Listen to what King Nebuchadnezzar says here. Look, begin verse 34 of Daniel 4. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are as reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" He's sovereign. He's sovereign in providence. You know, about a month ago, you guys know Jackie was scheduled. She was scheduled for that surgery over at Cabot. And it's something that she'd been waiting on for a long time. It's something we'd been waiting on for a long time. That Friday morning, she was supposed to go in at 6:30 and have that surgery. Thursday night, she got a phone call, and they said, "We're sorry, but there's some kind of dust on the equipment." And every surgery, every elective surgery in that hospital, as I understand, was canceled, was scrubbed. And we were disappointed. Why would this happen? First thing we think about is ourselves. Why would this happen? She's been waiting. She's been in pain. She's been suffering. And that day, Jackie's mom, who'd been ill for some time, hospice come picked her up at 6:00 that evening. Had Jackie been in that surgery, she wouldn't have been able to spend those last few hours with her mother. Half the family would have not had that time. We'd have been at the hospital with her recovery. And that's just one little thing that we've been able to see. Think of all the events. All the events that are constantly going on, we have no clue about. God's sovereign. God's sovereign in providence. Well, we think about that scripture, all things work together. And I think I always miss those first two words. We know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know these things. We forget, but we know these things. And then listen, He's sovereign in salvation. God is sovereign in salvation. In His letter to the Ephesians, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, men might be able to go along with the idea that God's sovereign in creation. There's some that'll agree to that. Some will even say that God's sovereign in providence. But this is what you bring this up in the lunchroom and there's going to be trouble. God's sovereign in salvation. God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 27. Go back to verse 25. God's right to save whom He will. God's power to save whom He will. Men want to say that salvation's by man's will or man's work. But look here. Look here, beginning with verse 25. I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was He sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them were cleansed, saving one. Saving Naaman the leper, Naaman the Syrian. Listen to how the religious people responded to that. Look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, these were church-going people here. All they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, filled with wrath. And they rose up, and they thrust Him out of the city, and they led Him unto the brow of the hill whereof the city was built, that they might cast Him down head first. Rather than rejoicing, rather than giving thanks that God would even save one, they were filled with wrath, and they were going to cast him. And it wasn't enough just to cast him over the hill. They were going to cast him over the hill head first. The message of God's sovereignty and salvation, it infuriates the natural man. Turn over to John chapter 1. He was in the world, verse 10, John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. They were born of God. Fourth, the sufficiency of Christ's blood. The sufficiency of Christ's blood. Men talk about the blood. They'll talk about the blood. But listen to them for a minute, or don't listen to them for a minute, because here's what they'll say. They'll talk about Christ's blood, but it'll be Christ's blood plus their works. It'll be Christ's blood plus their giving. It'll be Christ's blood plus their baptism. It'll be Christ's blood plus, just draw a line there and fill in the blank. It's never just Christ's blood. It's Christ's blood and something. It's always something else. But God's word declares that to be a false gospel. What false preachers declare is that Christ's blood is not sufficient. Because if it was, there'd be no need for anything. They wouldn't be declaring a need for anything else. Christ's blood is sufficient to save, and anything less than that is a false gospel. Paul, speaking to the Galatians, he said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into his grace unto another gospel," which is not another gospel, because there's only one. "But there be some of you, some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." 1 John 1, verse 7 says this: "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Not Christ's blood for us anything, but Christ's blood and Christ's blood alone cleanses us from all sin. What men call heresy, God creating the heavens and the earth. The fall of man, man's deadness in trespass and sin. God's sovereignty in all things. The sufficiency of Christ's blood. And fifth, that the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin. Men declare that to be heresy. They call that heresy. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 21. The Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for his people. That's what's declared in the scriptures. Our high priest became he us. Consider this. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, he's made higher than the heavens. Habakkuk said, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity." He should be counted unholy. That he should have all the iniquity of all his people of all time placed on him. It was laid on him. He was he that's one with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, who's one with the Father, God in human flesh, that he should be made accursed for his people. Listen to the rest of this verse. That we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin. He, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God. I'm God and there's none else. He was made sin. Acts 24, verse 14. Paul says, This I confess unto you, that after the way that men call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things written in the law and in the prophets. What are some of those things written? God created the heavens and the earth. Man's dead in trespasses and sin. God's absolutely sovereign in all things. The sufficiency of Christ's blood. His blood and His blood alone. That the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for His people. Let me ask you this. Who gets the glory in that? God gets all the glory in that. Read on. Paul said, and having hope toward God. For this reason, I have hope toward God. Which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. All right, we'll quit right there.